Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, having returned from holiday, recording on Thursday, the 24th of August at 7:05 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. In terms of stock markets, the Asian stock markets were a bit softer in here today. Europe followed in that vein, but then recovered, closing pretty much with moderate gains across the board. Sweden seems to be a small exception, only down 0.04%, so virtually unchanged. And Wall Street, as I speak, is mixed, down slightly on the Dow, up a bit on the S&P, down a fraction on the Nasdaq. So quiet in here overall. And in terms of government bonds, again, that quiet story is being repeated here. This must owe a lot to the remaining sultry days of summer in Europe and North America. And in terms of currencies, we had the dollar weaken earlier in the day, but it has firmed up, showing modest gains. And precious metals gave up some earlier gains, but are mostly steady generally. And nickel, I think we probably had, well, it retested the highs and then backed off, but still up a little bit on the day in the metals. That seems to be the main news. Natural gas, steady. I'm in here, edging higher again, once again today. Okay, where do we actually stand in terms of the medium-term trends for all of these markets? Well, as far as global stock markets are concerned, I maintain that this is still a predictable medium-term correction, although the end of this medium-term correction, I do believe, is in sight. And I see no reason at this stage to revise my script, which I've stuck with for the last number of months, that the danger period during this corrective phase, or dull period during this corrective phase, was 2Q and 3Q 2006, but that the correction should largely be over by the end of October at the latest. And then there was scope for a reasonably good run in markets generally. Now, I noticed from some of the mail that's been coming in, some of the articles that I have seen, that people generally are a bit more pessimistic about that. There have been reams printed on the U.S. housing market slowdown and the risks that that poses to the U.S. economy. Well, it's not something that we haven't seen coming. We have seen this coming, of course, and it does pose a risk to the U.S. economy, and I too have been looking for a slowdown here, but my hunch is that people are becoming a little too bearish about it all and are perhaps underrating the Fed's ability to inject further funds into the economy and also lower short-term interest rates should the need arise. Now, in the short term, and paradoxically, a risk for the stock market is not so much the housing market in the short term at any rate, but if, for instance, stock markets were to be too firm generally, and you probably recall my view, I don't know, Owen will have almost certainly repeated this, that we probably saw the lows back in June, and I said that back in June at the time, and the technical evidence largely supports that. And we have seen some markets, particularly in Europe, go back up and test their highs, and I think the prospect for European markets, which have shown the best relative strength in here recently, if the chances of these developed country European stock markets at any rate pushing through their previous highs, going back to the May highs now, April May highs, and running again strongly on the upside between now and the end of at least September is probably limited. It would be logical to expect some upside resistance near the highs. And we still have this apathetic period with a lot of people still on holiday. And everybody knows pretty well that this is a somewhat more dodgy period for stock markets generally, and that can persist well into the month of October. So as I say, in terms of the medium-term correction, I think that the end is in sight. We've probably seen the lows for most indices. I wouldn't be paying up for positions of interest in these markets. And as I said before, paradoxically, a strong stock market performance could embolden central banks to raise interest rates or air the possibility that they might raise interest rates a bit further, and that would reintroduce a headwind for equities and possibly also government bonds. Conversely, if the economic evidence continues to deteriorate, that while that will worry people in terms of growth prospects, I think it would probably be more market positive than anything else, because that would say or suggest that we are not going to see further short-term interest rate hikes, and that we will quite possibly see some reductions in short-term interest rates. So the stock market will probably continue in its role as a discounting mechanism overall, and I remain optimistic as far as the fourth quarter and beyond is concerned for equities. Now, it would be a bonus if we had an environment that was as bullish as what we saw from 2003 through the first quarter of the into and through the first quarter of 2006. But I have not been in the bear market school, as you know. Government bonds, now they have been showing a loss of downside momentum. I'm talking about bond futures prices now. They've been showing a loss of downside momentum on the charts for quite some time. The yields rolling over, in other words, and certainly a technical rally is underway here. I think this was, again, feel that this was predictable, but it's not something that I wish to participate in because I maintain that we are in a secular bear market for government bonds. So whereas I will be increasing my equity exposure from probably late October onwards, I will not be buying any government bonds, and I've said that on a number of occasions, and I will actually be looking to short government bonds when these current rallies tire, and I'd be delighted if the current rallies carry higher in the short term, as they might well do. Now, in terms of currencies, my script has always been for the dollar to range lower from its November highs that we saw last year, and on the US dollar index to eventually test those historic lows from the 1990s in the 80s region. I see no reason to change this view. In the very short term, that sentiment towards the dollar may wax and wane a little bit in line with expectations regarding Fed policy on interest rates. So certainly no big changes there. Now, on precious metals, we're also seeing a medium-term correction. We're still in a medium-term correction phase. Actually, I've used that terminology on so many occasions, and I really should update it in my audios, as I have in my copy that I've posted today. I said that while we're still in the overall corrective phase, because it looks as if we saw the lows in June, and this applies to precious metals as well, that the overall pattern and the description that I should use now is to say that we're more in the consolidation phase, where we're still, apologies for the jargon, but we have to use some words, where previous gains are still being consolidated. That leads to further ranging activity. But it's becoming less and less likely that we will see the June lows retested by these precious metals. And overall, I remain extremely bullish in terms of their potential. And I remain long silver futures, which I'm about to roll forward, because I have the September contracts, and ditto palladium, and also gold futures, which I hold. And platinum looks reasonably good as well. Industrial metals, it's more of a mixed picture. I think the copper pattern overall, which had that big parabolic acceleration a few months ago, and while prices have remained steady, it's not the type of pattern I like overall. If you want to see what can happen with patterns of that type, look at sugar on a weekly basis in the library. The two patterns are almost identical in what they've done. Strong moves on the upside, culminating in massive upside accelerations, and then lots of ranging right-hand extension with breaks to the downside. Now, sugar is sugar, and copper is copper, and I don't want to overstretch that comparison or overlabor that comparison, but it's best to be cautious following big accelerations on the upside, such as sugar saw, and you can see why. You look at that chart. Sugar, incidentally, C. Owens commented on it in here today, and it does look to us as if sugar has commenced a bottoming out process after a very, very substantial reaction from its highs. Copper is vulnerable to a further corrective phase, and I also note that it's lost its backwardation, which had persisted for such a long time. So that's a warning as well. Now, nickel in here today, which I've been bullish of nickel for a number of months, as you know, but nickel has exceeded even my most optimistic expectations for the short term. But having seen the 3-month nickel price push up to $3,000, that's the LME price. Did I say 3,000? Let me rephrase that, and you'll forgive me here. First day back from the holiday. 30,000 nickel price in dollars on the LME. This is the third month position, rallying up to $30,000. That's a round of phobia, psychological resistance level in all probability. And then, of course, there have been the complaints to the LME about the extent of the squeeze that was taking place. It will remain to be seen who has been caught short in that nickel market. And I have no idea who it is, would add to the rumors, but certainly somebody's profit margin has been badly damaged. Here it'll be interesting to see. The news will come out eventually due to mark-to-market requirements. But nickel, again, I think it's probably done it. Nickel prices here in the short term, and that it will find these levels difficult to maintain. Again, we've had some pretty strong acceleration. So some of these industrial metals are a bit more vulnerable to further or to corrective phases where they haven't already seen them, or in the cases of copper, to some additional correction. The others aren't as overextended as those two at this stage. But I'd be a little cautious there, although I remain very, very bullish for the longer term. And natural gas, well, you remember when that ratio to crude oil got up to what it was got up to about 13 to 1 here. And we posted those charts a number of times. Well, natural gas's relative performance has improved in here recently. It's been choppy. It still looks like base formation development overall, though. So I'm happy to hold my long position there. But it may well take a threat to the Gulf of Mexico production facilities to push this up strongly in the short term. Overall, I maintain that it's a very cheap real asset. Well, more on other markets tomorrow, and I'd better bring this to a close at this stage. So I'll just say, as I usually do after these broadcasts, all the best to all of you.